Has anyone ever been, like, not just driven through, but anyone been to Toledo, Ohio? Anyone? I got one. Yes! All right, Toledo, Ohio is not really your, like, destination of vacation. No one goes, hey, where do you guys want to go on vacation? Let's go to Toledo, okay? No, it's not. Like, it's a port city on the western part of Ohio. The only reason you go there is because main highways travel through it. You may stop for gas, okay? That's the only time I'd ever been there. But 2 weeks ago, a conversation with my wife started like this. I felt the need to literally quote her. She said, Preston, I feel prompted to go to Toledo, Ohio, to physically be there. I have no idea what God wants to do in us or through us there, but I feel we need to be there. This is how our conversation started. Okay, I'm thinking to myself, like, at least ask to go to like Hawaii or Florida. She goes, Toledo, Ohio. Okay, at that point, I'm like, all right, what's going on here? What's the catch? There was a conference speaker that was speaking Monday night in Toledo, Ohio, and then the conference went on for the rest of the week, but he was just there one night. And I remember my response. She told me this, and I was like, you know, and you try to, you know, men, you put on the face like you're listening. And my mind's going, this makes no sense, this makes no sense. And then I made the mistake, it came out. This makes no sense. Like, I said it before, I could kind of reel it back. It was literally, that was my only excuse. I was like, no, it's Friday, it's on Monday, I have 2 days to arrange. No, we can't do that. And then I looked down, and on the kitchen counter was my copy of this book that we've been walking through in small groups and on Sunday morning called Whisper by Mark Batterson, where he talks about how God speaks to us constantly through different languages. And at that moment, I thought, all right, God, what are you speaking to me here? Because this makes no sense, and this is exactly how you would be speaking to me. And I literally felt this feeling, this prompting, not to do anything, but just this question that said, are you listening? I thought to myself, man, I stand here on Sunday mornings and I ask the church and people watch podcasts, and every single week we're saying, are you listening? And my wife comes with this crazy idea, I think. And God prompts me to think, am I listening? Throughout this entire series, our unifying prayer as a church has been, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now you may look and go, okay, well, you obviously didn't go because it makes no sense, right? No, we went to Toledo. We didn't just go because I, like, you know, gave in. We went because after that, I spent some time in prayer saying, God, if this is really you, man, you got to make this really obvious because this doesn't make any sense to me. I had this feeling that faith needs to have a large part in what we do. And things, even when it doesn't make sense, we need to go, God, is this you or is this not you? Because, see, faith counts the cost. See, some people think faith is just throwing everything logical to the wind. No, faith absolutely counts the cost. It counts the actual cost, which is what our brains make us think, but it also counts the opportunity cost. And then even if the opportunity cost and the actual cost don't make any sense, faith doesn't walk away defeated. I could tell my wife was not going to walk away defeated because she knew there was something about Toledo, Ohio that we needed to physically be there. How many of you guys know God uses other people to speak to you? Pastor August preached on this last week. If you missed it, nr.church/sermons. Check it out. God uses other people to speak to you even when your best excuse is that makes no sense. This trip to Toledo, Ohio was one of the best trips that Amy and I have ever taken. And had nothing to do with the scenery, had nothing to do with the surroundings at all. God opened doors that we didn't even realize that we had shut in our marriage as well as in our ministry. God solidified desires that he had given both of us in our heart that we had never let the other person know about. Because when you got 16 hours in the car, you got a lot to talk about. And because we obeyed what many would call a silly prompting or a make no sense, because we obeyed a prompting, I absolutely believe that God is going to continue to show not just up in our lives, in our ministry, but continue to show the importance that he had in us going to Toledo. Toledo was not important. Listening to God and obeying a prompting absolutely was. See, God often speaks through promptings or little nudges or pokes, or maybe it's a jog in your memory or a leap, like something inside you, in your spirit that you know, that's a little weird. That doesn't usually happen. Matter of fact, if you look up the definition of a prompt, it's the cause that brings something about. The cause that brings something about. Or another definition of prompt means to do something without delay, to be prompt or to be on time. And so this morning, I want to look at God's language that he speaks to you and I of promptings. I want to lean in a little bit. I want to tune our ears and listen to God's language of promptings this morning. Because hearing is only half the battle. Obedience is what turns our hearing into listening. See, if we're wanting to answer the question, what is God speaking to me? Because here's the reality. I can ask you the question, are you listening all day? Or I can ask you the question, does God speak? Or what language does God speak? All day, and you could care less. But the question that all of us ask is, but what about me? What is God speaking to me right now, promptly? We're waiting for this answer. But here's what happens. Many of us are praying, or at least we're talking to God. But just like it takes obedience to go from hearing to listening, it takes listening to go from just talking to actually praying. See, prayer is not just about talking. Prayer is about listening to God. That is what turns it into from a monologue into a dialogue, and that's what God wants with us. He doesn't just want a monologue. He doesn't just want me droning on all the time. No, no. He wants a dialogue. He wants at some point for me to shut up and listen to maybe his still small voice. Maybe it's his promptings. Maybe it's a door he's opening up. Maybe it's another person to speak to us. But he will speak. And so praying, by Mark Batterson's definition, is not just a monologue that many of us treat it like. It's a dialogue that God wants to have with us. Because let's face it. At the end of the day, I need to hear what God is saying a lot more than he needs to hear what I'm saying. I get it. I'm pretty important. I'm pretty special. But I'll tell you right now, I need to hear what he's saying to me much more than he needs to hear what I'm saying to him. See, when we're listening, not just hearing, when we're really listening, that means we're leaning in to God. We're like waiting for that whisper, because you gotta lean in to hear a whisper. We're tuning in. We're ready to hear and obey so that we can discern God's prompting dialect that he is speaking, his prompting language that he's wanting to have with each and every one of us. See, feeling something, knowing something, perceiving something doesn't change anything. Obeying does. It's really nice to get a prompt to do something, or a nudge, or a poke, or kind of this uneasy feeling like I should be doing something, this prompting. But prompting requires obedience. It's not good enough just to feel like you should do something. You need to do it. Promptings require obedience. And see, it's not that God speaks any louder through a prompting or through another language. It's that oftentimes we choose to listen a little more, to lean in a little closer, to pay attention a little better. Because us being better listeners is awesome. God wants us to hear his voice, to be better at leaning in and waiting to hear his still small voice, the whisper that he speaks to us through. But that's not God's goal. God's goal is not that we become magically better listeners. And all the ladies in the room were like, darn it. Like, my husband needs this. He needs to be a better listener, not only to God, but me as well. No, no, God's goal is not that men and women would be better listeners. God's goal is that you would have an intimate relationship with every single one of us. His goal is that through us listening to him, having to lean in, is that we would have a closer relationship with him. That we would have to get a little closer in order to understand what he's really speaking to us. Promptings are more than just nudges. Promptings are also time-sensitive cues that God gives us. See, God speaks in the language of such a time as this. Such a time as this. It's a way that people perceive that we get pushed. It's about acting and obeying that impacts us as well as those around us. And his prompting voice isn't just the cause or the catalyst, but it's also our signal and our sign that now is the time to act. And so this morning, I want you to take your Bibles, go to the Old Testament, to the book of Esther. Okay, it's right before the book of Job. If you don't have your Bibles, you can open up the Bible app. You can go to the More tab. You can see all of our notes, all the scriptures. But we're going to camp out in this book of Esther. Now, Esther is actually a pretty short book. It's like 10 chapters, but the chapters are very short. And God uses Esther, a young Jewish girl who becomes a queen, to save a nation. See, this young Jewish girl, Esther, she was just your average, normal girl, but she's very beautiful. But the Jews were living in Persia, a foreign nation. They'd been captured years ago and drug off there. And she is made queen through some very unlikely happenings. And then she saves her people through even more unlikely, crazy, that doesn't make sense type circumstances. But it started with her cousin, Mordecai. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to Esther chapter 4. See, Mordecai was the one that prompted Esther to go be a part of the king's harem. The group of women that he ultimately chose his wives and even the queen out of. And so Mordecai pushed his cousin to go be a part of this harem, which is not a normal Jewish thing. Matter of fact, if you were a good Jewish girl, this is something you would stay far, far away from, especially like this king. King Xerxes was his name. He was sexist, he was powerful, and he was irreligious to the max. However, when the door opened for a new queen to be chosen, Mordecai recognized it. And then he helped Esther walk through this door. And so while Esther is in this process, okay, some bad stuff goes down with Mordecai. How many of you guys know sometimes God prompts other people to prompt us to listen to him? God prompted Mordecai to push Esther to do something she would normally never do in order to listen to God. And so as Esther's going through this process of becoming a part of King Xerxes' harem and ultimately would end up being the queen of Persia, King Xerxes number two, this guy's name is Haman. Haman, he thought a lot of himself, okay? And so he made this rule that whenever he walked by, everyone should bow and show reverence to him. Well, one day, he walks by Mordecai, Esther's cousin, and Mordecai doesn't bow down. Matter of fact, Mordecai defies him, and this happens a couple times, and Haman loses his mind. Why would this guy disrespect me? And so, because he's the number two in the entire nation of Persia, he decides, I'm not only going to destroy Mordecai, I'm going to destroy Mordecai's family and entire nation, entire people group. And so, Haman literally sets it up so that on one day, all Jews would be killed throughout the nation of Persia. Now, this does not surprise the king. This does not surprise people because most people living in Persia didn't like the Jews anyways. And so they're like, all right, sweet. So on a certain day, it was declared that all Jews would die. And Mordecai finds this out. And he doesn't, woe is me. He doesn't, oh man, it's all my fault. I'm going to take my ball and go home now. I'm going to quit. I'm going to run away. You know what he does? He goes to his cousin Esther, who he knew had an in with the king. He was a part of the king's harem. She was on her way to becoming the queen, and so he asks her to go to the king to plead the plight of him and her people. Now, here's the problem. We think, that makes sense, right? You got someone in, you go do it. At this time, no one was allowed to go to the king unless the king invited them. Even if you were a part of the king's harem, you were not allowed to go to the king. Matter of fact, if you went to the king, it was seen as you trying to usurp his power or assassinate him, and you would be killed or punished on the spot. They won't ask questions. They don't say, oh, you're here for a good reason. Okay, here you go. No, none of that. You went to the king, you died. And so Mordecai was basically asking Esther to face her own destruction to try to save him and all her people. And so Mordecai says this to Esther, Esther 4:14, for if you remain completely silent at this time, because naturally Esther's like, excuse me, I don't want to do this. I got a pretty cushy job right now. Things are going pretty well for me. So yeah, I'm not going to do that. Mordecai says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Friends, what situation are you in right now? And you know God is prompting you to obey him right now. What is he nudging you towards? What is he prompting you to be a part of right now? What is he asking you to engage in and encouraging you to do it? Because perhaps for such a time as this, you are where you are. You've experienced what you've experienced. You're going through what you're going through because God has you there for a reason. See, as humans, we are really, really good. Matter of fact, we're great at ignoring good things. But God is better at prompting us to be a part of the perfect. So stop ignoring the good and allow God to prompt you towards his perfect. This is what God was doing in Esther's life. God has a perfect plan for you and for I, way better than anything good you and I could conjure up. And the same thing for Esther's life. And so Esther realizes in this moment, as Mordecai tells her, for such a time as this, maybe this is why you are where you are. You've walked through the door you've walked through. You don't like what's going on. You don't like the situation that's about to happen. But this is the reality, and here is God's interpretation of it. So Esther, after hearing what she's going to be required, what Mordecai's asking her to do, this is her reply. This is how she interprets, how she hears God's interpretation and prompting for her purpose. Esther 4:16, she says, go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Friends, prayer is more than just a monologue with God. Esther asks as many people to go without food, to go without drink for a few days in order to listen that much more intently, to quiet everything else out around them, to listen to what God is already speaking as she prepares to go on a suicide mission. She wants to know that other people are praying, are listening to God. Is there any other way? Should I do something a certain way? Should I go about this another way? She's counting on God prompting her and others to do this the right way. Because like any other human being, she does not want to die at this moment. But more than that, she wants to hear God's voice and to follow his will, to see his people saved. Luckily, thankfully, and I think because this God had his hand on this from the very beginning, that's not what happened. It doesn't end with Esther walking in and the king slaying her. Matter of fact, the king actually listened to her. The king was prompted to ask her to tell him to give, to ask him for whatever she wanted. He said, you can have whatever you want. Matter of fact, in chapter 4 and 5, he says it multiple times, whatever you want, let me know. But God wasn't done prompting people. Matter of fact, God even prompted King Xerxes, a pagan, someone who did not believe in God, yet God prompted him. Esther 6, verses 1 and 2. That night the king had trouble sleeping, so he ordered an attendant to bring the book of the history of his reign so we could read to him. See, back then in the king's times, whatever happened every single day, they wrote it down. This book was huge. It was King Xerxes' book of his reign. And so he was having a hard time, he had insomnia, he had a hard time sleeping, so he said, hey, listen, bring the most boring book you can and read it to me. Read to me what's been happening in my kingdom for the last, I don't know, years, months. Verse 2, Esther 6 says, in those records, he, King Xerxes, discovered an account of how Mordecai, Esther's cousin, had exposed the plot of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the eunuchs who guarded the door of the king's private quarters. They had plotted to assassinate King Xerxes. See, years before, these two guys had plotted to kill the king, and Mordecai had found out about it and let some officials know, and they thwarted it. And during this time, as he's suffering from insomnia, the king goes, hey, did we ever do something nice for Mordecai? Because that was a pretty big deal that he, like, saved my life and stuff. And they look through the annal. No, we didn't do anything. He goes, you know what? Go get him. We're going to do whatever he wants. Matter of fact, after hearing that reading, the king was prompted to honor Mordecai. And through only God's, like, there's no way this makes sense, the Jews end up not dying. Matter of fact, Mordecai ends up being honored throughout the kingdom. And remember Haman, the number two guy, who his whole goal was to destroy the Jews and destroy Mordecai? Haman ends up dying by the same way he had planned to kill the Jews and Mordecai themselves. God is always speaking. He's always prompting you and I. But I wonder how many times we don't even realize it. How many times do we incorrectly identify God's prompting as either bad Chinese, or, you know, it's someone else will take care of that, or that's not comfortable, God, I don't like that, I won't do that. That doesn't make sense. How many times do we ignore God's promptings because it doesn't make sense, or we don't like it? See, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a part of our triune God that Jesus promised when he was getting ready to leave this earth. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to send the counselor. He goes by many names, comforter, advocate, helper, teacher, guide, revealer. All these are the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wears many hats, does many things in our lives. But when he wants to get us out of our routines, out of our comfy lives, kicked back, legs up, feet back, or hands back, God often stirs our spirits. He prompts us. Have you ever had a moment where you're not really cold? You know, it's not cold out, but you get like this uncontrollable like chill. You ever had that? You ever get like goosebumps? Some people call them like your hair like raises on your arms or your neck, or you kind of feel like, ooh, what is that? I call them goosebumps. Physiologically, if you talk to medical profession, goosebumps are involuntary reactions to strong emotions or feelings. In this book, Whisper, Mark Batterson calls goosebumps the initial physical evidence of a spiritual stirring. I looked this up. There's actually a whole scientific field called ASMR, Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response, which is an experience characterized by a static-like or tingling sensation on the skin throughout the body. There is a scientific term for Holy Spirit promptings. There's a scientific term for goosebumps, for God trying to push us, cue us, prompt us, pay a little bit attention. This ASMR, this whole area of scientific study is about trying to help people relax. And if you look it up, it talks about helping people relax through whispering, through playing like repetitive, low voices, or things like rain, or coloring on paper, or crumpling paper. Honestly, it's kind of weird. But I'm looking this up, and I found myself leaning in. I found myself wanting to hear more, listening a little bit closer, which is exactly what God wants us to do. I think here's why this whole field of ASMR, autonomous meridian or sensory meridian response, exists. It's because it mimics intimate attention, and all of us desire, crave intimate attention. When you quiet everything else around you or about you, you have to focus on these sounds, and you lean in, and your brain focuses, and your brain leans in, and it feels like the sound is close to you, and you get like goosebumps. You get this relaxation. You feel like there's something, and it's only coming from sound. And I wonder if physical stimuli of listening to things can do this, then why is it hard for you and I to believe that there's a creator who creates all physical nature around us to prompt us in these ways as well through the Holy Spirit? And so I ask, are you listening? What prompting are you ignoring? Where is disobedience clogging your spiritual ears? What is God prompting or pushing you towards that you've been ignoring? There's this thing called effective frequency. See, effective frequency is how many times it takes us to pay attention. My kids have very high effective frequencies, especially when it comes to putting on shoes and brushing teeth, okay? I don't know how many times I get, 2 minutes, guys, we're leaving. 1.5 minutes, 1 minute, we are literally leaving right now. You have no socks on. What's going on? They take so many prompting. Guys, put your shoes on. Okay, no socks first. Get your book bags. Now your coat, okay? Everyone else with me? Like, it takes so many times just to get out the door. I think we think and we go, oh, kids these days, man, I don't get it. You know what? You and I have an effective frequency as well. How many times, how many different languages does it take for God to get our attention? For Samuel, normal dude, following God, living in the priest's temple, took him 4 late night visits from God. Peter, one of Jesus' favorite disciples, took 2 rooster crows, not just 1, 2 rooster crows to get his attention. And Paul, the greatest of all apostles, the writer of half the New Testament, took him 4 different encounters before he even knew God. When his name was Saul, the Pharisee, took him 4 different times to hear from God. And I wonder, what is it that you and I are missing? What is God prompting you towards even now? And so here's how I want to close. Our closing listening moment is actually going to be a video that I want you to watch. And this video is going to prompt you to ask God to speak to you. But do me a favor, don't ask God to speak if you're not willing to listen. During the video, I want you to listen to the words. But more than the words in the video, I want you to listen to God's voice beyond the music, beyond the words that are playing, to listen to his promptings. And here's what I want you to do. If you feel a prompting from God to move, to do something, to journal, to pray, maybe even to leave church and take care of whatever it is God lays on your heart and in your spirit, to deal with whatever God is saying, whatever you feel, if anything If any prompting happens, obey. Don't just hear. Obey, therefore listen to what he prompts you to do. Because your obedience, even this morning, might just be somebody else's miracle, or it might even be your own. So let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning that you would speak, for your servants are listening. God, prompt us, cue us, move us to not only know who you are, but to listen and obey to what you're prompting, pushing us towards. God, do what only you can do this morning. Speak to us. Speak to your people, for your servants are listening. Amen.
Sound of many waters calms the sea in me. The voice that ends the silence meets me in my need. Like fireworks igniting in my chest, the weight of your glory, the
If you would continue to ask God to speak to you and be ready to listen, He not only will speak, but He will help you obey. So go today ready to listen and obey. If you're here today and God is prompting you and you're like, I need someone else to come around side me and come alongside me and pray with me that I would obey, that I would listen to God's promptings, our prayer teams are going to come and they're going to be up here as you leave. Don't leave without praying with someone else to see God's prompting actually help you obey in your life. If you're here today and you're like, man, I know who Jesus is. I'm feeling prompted to be baptized. Next week, we're going to be celebrating water baptism. Right up here, Pastor August is going to meet you right in this section, right here, and answer any questions about water baptism for those of you that have made the commitment to follow Christ, but now you're feeling prompted to be baptized in water. Meet him up here. So do that or come up for prayer, but most of all, go today being ready to obey the promptings that God speaks to you. Have a great week. We'll see you later.